Blog Talk Radio.
Agape love.
God, go to Exodus chapter 3. I'm telling you, I'm already messed up. I tell you, I'm messed up in the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm messed up in the Holy Ghost. I could run through a troop and jump over a wall tonight. I don't know how you feel, but all things are possible. Oh, my goodness. I'm not telling you, I'm not giving you some presumption. I'm talking about what I know. All things are possible. All things are possible to him that believe. All things are possible. There is nothing. He will withhold no good thing from them who walk upright before him. Aren't you glad that you're walking upright before him? Oh, it may tarry, but wait on it. Hallelujah. It may be a delay, but wait on it. Hallelujah. They that wait upon the Lord shall. Hallelujah. Didn't say you might, could, maybe. You shall. He shall renew your strength. My God, tonight we thank you, Father. Exodus chapter 3. Verse number 14, we're going to start there. We got a lot of scriptures tonight. I'm building my case. What God spoke to me, I was sharing. Those that just came in, ran into someone who I had not seen in years, and they began to minister to me. And the word that I'm speaking tonight, they spoke it to me not even knowing. Called out the scripture and everything. Gave me the song. I had Brother LV looking for it. We're going to play that song. We're going to talk about the I am that I am tonight. They told me, they said, God said, he is the I am that I am. And they said, do you have the song I am? I said, no, but I got to get it now. Because I got to meditate on that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 3. I want to talk tonight about the great I am that I am. It says here in verse 14, and God said unto Moses up on the mount, now in the cleft of the rock, he saw the burning bush. He went up to meet God. God told him to hide himself. He said, for you couldn't see my glory and live. So he protected him. And while he was up there, he had a conversation with him. And he was telling him his assignment. His assignment. How many know God has an assignment for you? Amen. Sometimes you'll see a burning bush, you'll see it far off, and you'll get inquisitive. And you'll go and sit down with the Lord, and he'll have a conversation with you to tell you about something that you may think that is impossible to do. I hope you hear me tonight. You may feel in your spirit, man, there's no way I can get this done. Well, you're right. You can't get it done. But an I am that I am can get it done. He said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am have sent me unto you. What was the purpose of Moses going to the children of Israel? He was to lead Israel out of Egypt. The God you serve is a deliverer. The I am that you serve, he's letting you know right now that I am a deliverer. I have a plan for you. I am your every plan. I am your way out. I am when you get into a situation and you don't know what to do and how to handle it. He said, just know I am. I am the God you serve. He wants us out of bondage. He wants us out of Egypt, not just physically, but mentally. He wants you to know, I want you out of Egypt. I am that can bring you out. I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Matthew 22 and 32 said, but he's not the God of the dead, but of the living. He says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Jacob. I am the God of Isaac. I'm not the God of dead, but I'm the God of the living. Meaning that he's saying to you that he is perpetually, always, eternal, and he's omnipotent. He's everywhere at the same time. There's nothing about him that anything dead needs to be buried, but he said, I am life on the inside of you. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let you know that he's the God of covenant. I am the God of covenant. Because I made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God of promise. Oh, I hope you hear me tonight. This signifies the real being of God, his self-existence, and that he is the being of beings. He is the faithfulness of faithfulness. He is the promise of promises. This includes past, present, and to come. I am. And the sense is not only I am what I am at the present, but I am what I've been, and I am what I shall be, and I am what shall to come. I am him. I am God. Tell them, I am that I am. That's all you need. In every situation of your life, you just need to know, Lord, what do I do? Tell them, I am that I am. He is the I am of the covenant. Verse 15 said, and God said in Exodus 3 and verse 15, and God said, moreover unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, have sent me unto you. This is my name forever. Let it be settled. This is my name forever. Did you hear what? This is my name forever. And this is my memorial unto all generations. He's letting you know that I am the God of all generations. I'm the God of the past generations. I'm the God of now, and I'm the God of the future generations. This here lets you know, it signifies that I am the memorial. I am the name that you will need. I am the name that you will have to understand. It's not in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because we understood that they were ordinary men, but they were men that he called. They were men with flaws. They were men with all type of just because of ordinary, because of who they were. But when God calls you and he says that I am that I am, you are able to do exceeding and abundantly above all you can ask, think, or imagine, because God has called you. He said to Abraham, leave your father's house. Leave your kindred. Leave your people. Let me take you to a place. I'm going to show you not only generationally, but also globally. I'm going to show you as far as you can see globally that you can have. I'm going to show you that the generations of Abraham, the generations of the earth, they shall be blessed. I'm going to show you generationally that I am. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? If God can say that to them, what is it that he can tell us? Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. What does God say about us? We have to establish who he is. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, when you're there, say amen. But you are a what? Chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2 and 9. You there? You are a royal what? A holy nation. God's talking about you. Did you hear what? Let me say that again. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of where? Who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. I am is the only one that can call you out of darkness. Oh, come on, somebody. And put you into the marvelous light of him. I am can bring you out of no matter who you were before. No matter what you've done before, it's in the past. When I am calls you out, you have now gone from darkness, not just into light. Oh, you don't miss that. You're going into the marvelous light. There's a big difference about walking in light and the marvelous. Have you ever been in a room that it has some light? But sometimes you have to say, can I have a little more light? Come on, somebody. And when they open up the light, it's marvelous. You can really see. He said, I want you to know, I'm not calling you into just light, but I'm calling you into a place where you're going to be able to see. And not only able to see, but because you are a special people, because you belong to me, because you are a royal people, then the light that's illuminating is going to illuminate all over you. And so when the folks see, they're going to cry out, what must I do to be saved? And they're going to say, who is this God that you serve? And you're going to tell them, I serve the I am that I am. Go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 7. You got to hear this tonight. You got to know who you are in him. You got to know that there's a name that's above all names. You have to know that there's a name that you can invoke. There's a name that has given to his special people. There's a name that has given to those that are of the royal priesthood. There's a name that's above all names. And you have to be very careful in utilizing that name because you're responsible for how you use that name. You're responsible for how you respond with that name. You're responsible. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. It says this, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. So when you're using the name of the Lord, you got to understand there's a power that goes with that name. And you have to be very careful in how to use that name. Now, this is more than just talking about curse words. This is more than talking about, and folks, they use Jesus and they just kind of flip it in doing this. Is more than that. This is talking about using a name that will produce the results based upon how it's used. If you use his name inappropriately, you will bring things into your life inappropriately. If you use his name appropriately, you will reap the results of those things appropriately. He said, be careful how you use this name. Oh, this is not no flippant name, because this is the name that was made to be a memorial to all generations. This was a name that became the name forever. This name does not change. This name carries weight. This name is a covenant. This name is a promise. This name is his glory. This name is the temple. This name is a redemptive name. This name is a healing name. This name is a delivering name. So you have to be careful in how you use this name. You have to use it appropriately in order to get the benefits of this name. He said, tell them I am that I am. Go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. You will be the beneficiary, knowing that he said, this is the name to use. tell them I have sent you unto them, and tell them that I am that I am. There's something that happens when God speaks. There's something that happens when you go in the name of the Lord. There's something that comes to you. There's something that begins to produce in the atmosphere. There's something that begins to produce in heaven. Heaven begins to release what is in earth. What is in heaven begins to come to earth based upon that name. Matthew chapter 16 in the New Testament. Jesus carries on with this. He says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples a question, saying, listen to this, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He answered the question, did the question. But he asked them, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? I am. Who do you say that I am? In verse number 15, he says unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And what was he asking them? He was trying to get out of them. He was trying to get them to think past the information stage. He was trying to get them to understand that he's not dealing on your level. He was trying to get you to understand that he's superior on any knowledge that you have. He was pressing them now. He was pressing into them now. He was trying to take them to another level. That's what happens when God begins to speak to you and he starts asking questions. You find out that you are limited in your answers. You find out that you are limited in your ability. He wants you to know that he's more than a great teacher. I wish I had some help in here. He wants you to know that he's more than just a good story to read about. He wants you to know that he's more than a picture on a wall. He wants you to know that he's more than a nativity scene. He wants you to know that he's more. Who do you say I am? Oh, that's powerful right there. Ooh, who do you say? I know what they say, but who do you say? You with me now. What is it that you know? What revelation have you received? Some said, you're the great teacher. Some said, you're John the Baptist. They said all the things. He said, but who do you say? Because if you allow me to be I am in your life, then I can be anything that you want me to be according to my will. He's trying to stretch us. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? So I am what I am at the present, but I am what I have been and I am what I shall be. There is power in the name. There's enough power to break every chain and to break every fetter in your life. I am. Who do you say I am? Do you say I'm a deliverer? Then I'm a deliverer. Do you say I'm a healer? I'm a healer. Do you say I'm a waymaker? Then I'm a waymaker. But who do you say? Not your friends, not Pookie. Who do you say I am? Where do I rank in your life? Because you're going to get the results of the name, and if you use the name wrong, please understand, you're not going to be held guiltless. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Who do you say I am? Go to John chapter 14. We're going to discover who he is tonight. Who do you say? You know, when he asked the question to the disciple, I ask you the question tonight. Who do you say that I am? It causes you to pause for a moment. Who has he been up until this point? And how do you know? Do you have the proof? See, your faith is no good without proof. Without proof, your faith is fake. Because you got to have the proof, oh my goodness, to show that your faith is working. Okay, all right. All right. John chapter 14, verse number 13 through 14. Pastor Lisa, do you have that? Can you read that for me? Because I want to read it out the Amplified.
And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Verse
13 and 14. That's what that was.
Amen. Amen. So whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. That's who I am. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that's what I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will. Because I am the covenant. Oh, man. You're not broke. You're not walking in lack. Because he's the I am of the covenant. You are heirs and joint heirs. Oh, come on, somebody. To the Abraham, see, your heirs are joined heirs to the promises of Abraham. The promises are covenant. So you have to start saying what it is that you are. He said, because I am what it is that you want me to be according to my will. Let me read this to you out of the Amplified. And I will do, out of the Amplified, verse John 14, 13 to 14, says, I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name, as presenting all that I am, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled in through the Son. Yes, I will grant. I myself will do for you whatever you ask in my name, as presenting all that I am. Whatever that you ask in my name, I will do as presenting all that I am. All that I am. That you ask, I will do all that I am, because I am. It's the name that's in the memorial for every generation. It's an inheritance that you leave for your children and their children. When they feel, daddy, mama, what do I do? Grandmama, auntie, uncle, what do I do? You call them the name I am that I am. You teach them about that name. You begin to declare what you are. Come on, somebody. I am $1 million. That's all right. I got two claps and two laughs. That's all right. Sarah laughed. Amen. Amen. I am $1 million. Come on, somebody. I am a new home. Come on, somebody. I am a Mercedes 600. Come on, somebody. I knew that'd get somebody that. I am. He said, I will be all that you want me to be. I'm presenting to you all that I am. If you ask it, my will. Is it his will? But you got to know who he is. This is what's happening when ask in his name. You have to be very careful that you don't use his name in vain. There is no power when you use his name in vain. Someone earlier today at work used his name. They were mad about something. They said, oh, Jesus. And little did they know, I had been working on this message, so I was there at the right time at the right place. I said, what is it that you're asking him to do? All right now. No, come on now, because I want to know. I said, what is it that you're at? Because you called his name. And let me tell you right now, you can't call his name in vain. Because you can call his name in vain. You can start saying, oh, I'm broke. Oh, I'm poor. And everything that's tied to poverty will start coming your way. Because you're going to reap the result of it, because he's not going to hold you guiltless. Go to Acts chapter 19, I got to prove my case. Acts chapter 19. Why you cannot use this name in vain. Why you got to stop saying dumb things and you just dumb and you stupid and you release everything that's stupid coming your way. You release everything dumb that's coming your way. I can't get out of this. Every time I turn around, it seems like this is happening to me. Yes, right. And you're releasing everything. Acts chapter 19, you know this passage of scripture, verse number 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preached. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and the chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. Come on, somebody. How did the evil spirit know Jesus? Because Jesus said, I am that I am. Paul, I know. But who are you? You got to be very careful that you just that when you use that name, you better know him. Oh, my goodness. You can't use his name. See, a lot of folks are trying to use his name for their personal gain. And people are gifted. They have talents, and they're called without repentance. But after a while, somebody, oh, my goodness. After a while, you're going to get whipped out of your clothes. Because the enemy is looking to make a mockery of you. And so when you don't know that name, you need to get to know it. You need to get to know it intimately. You need to have some fruit. You need to know him. Who is this I am that I am? Let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse number 35. Say amen when you get there. John chapter 6, who is this I am? John 6, verse number 35, and it says, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. I am the bread of life. Of life. Jesus has the revelation to give you that he can feel every hunger pain that you have. He said, I am the bread of life. Everything that you hunger for, I can feel it because I am. If you're hungry, he said, I can feel it because I am. How do you know that, Pastor? Because there was a little boy who had 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he took the bread and he broke it. And when he breaks the bread, it's the representation of his body. Oh, come on, somebody. And he took his body and he lifted up to heaven. And he blessed it because he is the bread of life. He lifted it up to the Father, who is the I am. And he blessed it. And the Bible said when they were done, he took up 12 baskets of fragments that were left over. Why? Because when you're hungry, when you're in pain, when you're going through, the bread is broken for you. This is the message of dominion. This is the message of dominion. I am the bread of life. There should never be anything in your life that gets you into such a terrible fix that the bread of life cannot feed you. The bread of life can fill you. Even in death, it has no sting because he took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and he came up. The bread of life. There is no death in those that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, they only sleep. Hallelujah. Because you are life. Because he's life. I am the bread. He broke it in the midst of the men of Emmaus, and they were discouraged. But when they opened their eyes, they saw the revelation. I am. Go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, just a couple chapters over. John chapter 8, who is this I am? John chapter 8, verse number 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, he said, I am the light. Talking about the woman who was caught in adultery. When they wanted to stone her. Oh, you know how church folk want to do. They find a little bit out about you. They want to stone you. They get into your business. They want to knock you down. Come on, somebody. But he said, I am the light. Even what you've been through, I'll just write in the sand. And the Bible said they all, because they couldn't handle the light. Oh, I wish I had some. They begin to see who they were. They begin to see that they were not on the same level with Jesus. He says, I am the light. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. There is light of life in you. This woman caught in adultery, God spared her. Jesus spared her by saying, no matter what you have been through, no matter what you have done, it's never over. I can bring you out of darkness because I am the light. I am the light. He said it in John chapter 9, verse 5, that I am, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I am. There's no excuse for us to walk in darkness when we have the I am. As long as I'm in the world, I will always give you light. You never have to walk in darkness. You just have to get into the I am. And when you're in the I am, there's illumination, there's light. Go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, look at verse number 9. He's telling us that he's the bread of life. He's letting us know that even in our messed up situations, in our life, that he is the light of the world. He's letting us know that he is the light as long as he is in the world. What is that telling me? Honey, as long as he is in the world, you got a chance. As long as he's in the world, you have an opportunity. As long as he's in the world, it's never over. I don't care how dark it gets. Get out the darkness, because he's brought you out the darkness. Get out the darkness and get into the light of his word. Honey, begin to say, I am light. Because he's light, I am light. I am light. I am delivered. John chapter 10, verse number 9, are you there? He said, I am what? I am the door. Oh, my goodness. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And he shall go in and out and find pasture. He said, listen, I am the gateway. Oh. I am the door. Well, there's no jobs. Well, there's nothing in Flint. There ain't nothing around here. I was just listening to someone complaining about being... Ain't nothing in New York City. I'm like, 8 million people there. What you mean, nothing there? But it don't have anything to do with the physical. That's what we don't get. He said, I am the door. I'll open the door. And no man can shut. And I'll shut the door. Because I am the door. I'm the gateway. You can come in and you can go out. Honey, you can come in and I'll shut the door on them. I wish I had some help. I can bring you out of that situation on the job, and when they come after you, I'll shut the door on them. I wish I had some help in here. I am the door. You need a promotion. You don't have to worry about who's in next in line and who know who. You are dealing with the I am of the door. I am the door. And you'll find pasture. You'll find rest. You'll find peace. Oh, my goodness. Have you ever not had a job, but yet you were walking in peace? Have you ever not had enough, but yet you in peace? You going through, but you have made up your mind that you're not depending upon your resources. You made up your mind you're not depending upon your friends. You're not trying to call auntie anymore for money. You're not trying to call your cousin anymore, your rich Uncle Joe and your rich Uncle Bob. You're not trying to call them because at some point you got to know that he is the I am. And you got to know him for yourself or your faith is fake because there's no proof. Woo, my God. You don't have any proof with your faith, it's fake. You got to have some proof at some point. He said, I can open it and I can shut it. If you need a way to, if you need a way to come to Jesus, he said, I'm the door. Oh, we all needed a way at some point to come to him. We were wretched. We were living in sin. We were living outside of the will of God. We didn't know him, no Savior on our side. But yet he showed up and he said, I am the door. And you had some pasture. You had some peace when he let you in. Come on, somebody. Oh, when you begin to confess that he is Lord of your life. When you begin to say he is Lord and Savior, when you begin to give your life to him, he will say, I am the gateway. No man could come unto the Father unless through me. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue is going to have to confess that I am. My God. Go to John chapter 11, verse number 25. I'm getting there. Go to John chapter 11, verse number 25. While you're going there, John 10, verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives life, gives his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Honey, what is he saying? There's an investment in you. Oh, my gosh. He's got to invest. He's invested in you. He's invested in you so much that he's given his life for you. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. You need to know that he's a good shepherd, that he has an investment. He's invested in me before he even knew me. It don't matter what you've done. You don't even need to be looking at it. That's the problem. We have to teach on righteousness, Pastor Alicia, because in righteousness, there is no condemnation. In righteousness, in Christ Jesus. There's a righteousness of God that supersedes anything. You listen, what you did last night, he said, I am the door. You worried about this and that. He said, what you worried about? You can't add one cubic to your life. Come on, somebody. He said, I am. What you worrying about? What are you fretting about? Because I am. Oh, when you look at God from the perspective and the position of I am, it changes everything in your life. John chapter 11, verse 25 said, Jesus said unto her, talking about Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Oh, you got to know, I am the resurrection. I'm coming again. Revelation 21 talks about it with the reward in my hand. I'm coming again. I'm looking for the bride. I'm looking for the church without spot or wrinkle. I'm giving you the guarantee that I'm going to show up. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. You remember when Lazarus, they thought he died. They sent for Jesus. 3 days had gone by. Jesus said, give me one more day. You understand why he had to do that? Because according to Jewish culture, Jewish law, that after 3 days, if any person was raised, they could have said it was of the law. They was not of God. So God had to wait one more. He had to go past their religion and past their customs. Oh, my goodness. Because he had to let you know that his faith is not fake. He was going to prove out his faith. He said he's not dead. He just sleeps. You know it. Jesus went into the upper room, and the mourners was in there. They were crying. They were wailing over this young girl laying up on the bed. Jesus said, all of you got to get out. First of all, you got unbelief and doubt in this room. And with unbelief and doubt, he cannot be the resurrection in your life. Oh, my God. With fear, he cannot be the I am in your life. Because he is not giving you the spirit of fear. So when fear comes to attack you, you have to know, wait a minute, I serve the I am that I am. And he is a resurrection. He is the life. He is the door. He is the healer. He is the bread of life. He is the way out of no way. John 14 and 6. Go there. John 14 and 6 says, Jesus said unto them, I am the truth and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. That's why you got to be very careful in this last day. You got everything and everyone. You got folk now, they packing out churches full of homosexuals and lesbians. Full of illicit lifestyle, calling themselves, you got pastors now, two men pastoring, talking about they married. Growing churches. I want you to know God is still on the throne. And he said, it's unnatural affection. And he said, you can't enter the kingdom. That's what God said. Now, he's not against the homosexual. He's not against him. He died for that spirit. He died for the deliverance of that spirit. He loves us. He cares about us. We are to love one another, but we're not to tolerate immorality. You won't get two folk up in here. I'm sorry, I can't marry you. I'm sorry. I don't care what money I lose out through organization. That's all right. But see, we come into the day of the first century church when they were scoffed at and laughed at. Oh, I know everybody money hungry. Everybody want a position and a title. We're going to find out after a while who really loves Jesus. He said, I am the truth. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. He's clear on it. I am. Go to John 15. I got to help you with this one. John 15, verses 1 through 5. Let me know when you get there. He says, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husband, man. What is he saying? He said, I am your source. I am your source. No, your job is not your source. It's your resource. Your job is your seed. Your job is not. He said, I am your source. Oh, my goodness. I lost a job once. They came in. The downsized General Motors had closed. Went bankrupt. A lot of companies went out of business. And I was a director of operation. And my salary was up there. So I was one of the first that they wanted to cut off the block. So they called me in. October 9th, 2009, I remember, they called me in, sat me down, told me they were going to have to let me go. They began to talk about the severance package because, I wouldn't leave without that. Can I get some help, somebody? I wasn't crazy now. Come on. I love and trust Jesus, but, you need wisdom. Let us ask of God who will give it freely enough. I said, Lord, so I just want to let you know I wouldn't try to be wonder. I said, Lord, what do I do? He said, ask him about the severance package. I said, amen. But when I left there, they couldn't figure out why. I was shaking. They looked at me. He asked me to quit, gave me an opportunity to witness. They said, Ken, why? I said, because you got to understand something. You were never my source. Come on, somebody. He said, if you will deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. I had an opportunity to let man know that my source did not come from him. So therefore, the Father is well pleased, and I can invoke the great I am. And during that time, and during those couple of years, the Lord took care of everything. He made sure that we was going to take our son out of private school, and God said, no, you do not. Keep him in there. And let me tell you something, every month the bill was paid because I serve I am that I am God. Because he's my source. Verse 2 says, every branch in me beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges, that it may bring forth even more fruit. Every branch that does not bear fruit, everything that's not bearing fruit in your life, he's going to take it away because there is no growth. But he said, if you allow me to prune you, if you allow me, because you have to remember, I am the vine, I am your source. Allow me to prune you, allow me to reach in there. You'll bring forth much more fruit. Because I am that I am. Now you are clean through what? The word, which I have spoken unto you. So there's a connection to hearing his word. He said you are clean in verse 3. You are clean through the word. You are clean for the word that I have spoken. Now we are talking about the confession. We're talking about the I am that I am. Go to Revelation chapter 10. I got to show you that it's not only by our confession, but there's a prophetic utterance that we also have to speak. I am that I am. Revelation chapter 10. You will find out here that this is when John the Baptist was on the island Patmos. And on the island that he had been banished to, John's eyes had been gouged out, as they tell us in the scripture. And yet, he had found himself on the seventh day in the Lord. He had found himself worshiping the Lord. Oh, come on, somebody. John, on the seventh day, he had found himself worshiping the Lord. And the Lord began to prophesy to him. In Revelation 10, verse 11, that although John was in a terrible situation, although he had been banished, although these things had happened, although John even thought that Jesus had forsaken him, yet he had found himself worshiping the Lord. Because he believed in the great I am that I am. And here's what the Lord said to him, verse number 11, and he said unto me, wait a minute. He said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many people. Wait a minute. Your work is not done. Your work is not done. I'm going to bring you out, although you have been in a terrible situation. I haven't forgotten about you. I haven't changed my mind about you. I haven't turned my back on you. I want you to know, no matter where you find yourself, I want you to prophesy to you that thou must prophesy again before many people and nations and the tongues and the kings, that this is Jesus talking to John, who he knew. John was caught up, the Bible says. And when he was caught up, he heard the voice behind him speaking to him. Oh, he was caught up on the Lord's day. He was caught up in the heavenlies of heaven. He had gone into a different dimension. And as he was caught up worshiping the Lord, so he turned from the seventh day to turn to the sixth day because Jesus was behind him. And Jesus began to speak to him. Oh, you got to hear this. And Jesus told him and began to prophesy to him. And then later on in Revelation, he said to him, you have to understand, I can do this, John, because I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I'm not done with you yet. You got to understand, I am. Revelation 22 and 13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I am. Not only are we are to confess, but we are to speak what it is that we are. Proverbs 18 and 20 tells us that a man's belly should be satisfied with the fruits of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I told you, you cannot be held guiltless with his name. Whatever you speak, whatever you believe, whatever you say is going to produce in your life, because he said that I am the true vine. You are the branches. If you're going to bear fruit in me, I got to get you to speak the right thing. I got to get you to believe the right thing. I got to get you to stand on the right thing so that you can bear more fruit. But if you're going to speak death, then I'm going to let you know it's going to be cut off. It's going to be cut off. I'm going to have to cut it off because there's no life. I'm not the God of death. He said, I'm the God of the living. There is no death in me. Go to Romans chapter 10. We're closing with these three scriptures. Romans chapter 10, verse number 8. Now it's time to not only have confession, but to speak the word. When you know who you are, he told John in the holies of holies, he told John, he said, I am the Alpha and Omega. Can you imagine? Can you imagine your toughest challenge? Can you imagine your toughest day? Yet God said, I'm the beginning and the end. He who has started a good work in you is able to complete it. You got to know how to speak something into existence. You got to know how to prophesy something. You got to know how to call those things that be not as though they were, because he is the great I am that watches over every word to bring it to pass. Prophecy is speaking something into the future. You have to understand Romans chapter 10, verse number 8, it says, But what saith that the word is nigh thee, even where? Not only is it in your mouth, but it's in what? It has got to be in your heart. And if it's in your heart, that is the word of what? The word has got to be in your mouth. Oh, you got to have it in your mouth so that it can get in your heart. If it's not in your mouth, it can't get into your heart. And if it can't get into your heart, you don't have the capacity of faith. If you don't have the capacity of faith, then you can't prophesy. The word must get into your heart. It must come. It's nigh thee. You've got to say it. Stop saying what you don't want. Stop allowing your emotions to rule you. Stop allowing your feelings to take over you. Honey, I know you've been through a dark period. You've been through a dark time. But it is God said, I won't hold you guiltless if you continue to say those things that are not who I am. You will produce those things in your life. You keep being depressed, depression will fill your house. You ever go away somewhere and you walked in and you said, man, it's something in here. You felt you couldn't wait to get out. That's because depression is there. We are living spirits. You can't get away from it. Can't you tell when someone comes into the room? You always know. I always know. That's why sometimes you just got to pray. Amen. Sometimes you just got to just look straight ahead and pray. Just got to. Sometimes you might come home and you just say, Lord, I got to pray. Because you got to understand, I am that I am rules. And the enemy doesn't want you to allow God to rule in your life. He wants to get you to saying those things that are negative. He wants you to get you to saying those things that are not true. But Hebrews 10 and 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Job 22 and 28 says, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon your ways. Confession, it is a statement of truth based on scripture. Do you hear what I said? Confession is a statement of truth based on the scripture. Man is not based on man's intellect. Because man don't understand this. But what you decree and what you say, you put God to work for. Then we go from confession to prophecy. The power of prophecy is greater than the application of confession. Did you hear what I said? The power of your prophecy is greater than the application of your confession. Prophecy is a declaration of destiny. It's a statement of projection that defines your destiny. You can speak a thing into existence. It's your destiny. I am a new home. Oh, come on, somebody. You can speak into destiny. I remember one time, let me show you how God, how things can be spoken into destiny and how God confirms his word. I told y'all the story. You know, see, I got to say it many times, many ways that God, you know, gives me, because if faith is not, if your faith doesn't have any proof, it is fake. I can only tell you where it is that God has taken me. And I was telling you about the time when God gave me the land and I began to possess the land. And the people took their deposit off the lot. But what I did not tell you was that later on in the process, probably about a year or so later, we were at a get-together. And while we were at the get-together, the conversation started talking. And we started talking about prophetic utterance. And we started talking about the word of God. And in the midst of that conversation, it was a group of maybe 25, 30 people, I think, that was in the room. And in the midst of the conversation, one couple began to talk about how they believed God. And they began to prophesy for what it was that they wanted. And God took them to what it was that they wanted. And when God took them to what it was that they wanted, they took the money off the deposit that they had on the lot. And when they said that, my ears perked up. I said, hold up. Wait. I said, what lot did you have? They said, we had a lot over in Liverpool, New York. I said, wait a minute. Was it on this street? They said, yes. And that was the lot that God gave us. Oh, you got to hear what I'm saying. But because they had prophesied their destiny, because they believe in the God that I am, they found exactly what it was that they were looking for. But you got to understand, our confession and our prophecy and our standing on the word brought us both what it was that we were looking for. You got to hear me tonight. God told me to stand on the lot. He told me to walk the lot because I was knowing he was the great I am that I am. But on the other side, they were prophesying and believing God for what they wanted. And God, because of their confession, because of their prophecy, God said, I'm going to give you exactly what it is that you want, because I got somebody on the other side over here. He said, you got me working double duty today. Come on, somebody. And the angels are going to work. The angels love to go to work for the Lord. The angels started going to work, and we started comparing stories. We started comparing stories, and come to find out, until this day, we are very good friends with them. Until this day, we found out folk who we were believing. They were believers were the one who had the lot, and now they got what they want, and the house began to rejoice. The people in the house on that Friday night began to rejoice. The power of God was released, and folks' faith was increased. You've got to know that he is, that he is. I'm done. I can go on, but I'm done. Whew. There's a good place right there. Joel chapter 3, verse 10 says, let the weak say that I'm strong. Let the poor say I'm rich. Why? Because you serve I am that I am. Oh, my goodness. I am rich. Come on, somebody. I am rich. I am rich. I am land. Come on, somebody. I am property. Oh, I wish I had some help. I am business. Oh, I wish I am creative. Oh, I wish I am. Why are you saying that, Pastor? Because I am, because he is. And because he is, and I'm in him. He is the vine, and I'm the branch, and he's full of life. I am. I don't say that I'm poor, I'm rich. I don't say that I'm broke, I'm abundantly supplied. And my faith is going to prove out after a while. I may have to hold on. See, you got to know how to tell the devil something. You got to know how to quit letting the devil speak to you. Quit letting the devil tell you, you ain't got nothing. You ain't doing nothing. Look at you, still in the same place. Ain't nothing changed. You need to tell the devil, I am who I am. It's the only thing that's going to get him to back up off of you. He told Jesus, throw yourself off the mountain. Jesus said, I am that I am. He said, if God is such God, then he'll catch you. Jesus said, I am that I am. He said, if God is so much God, are you hungry? Oh, he didn't understand when he talked about hungry. He said, if you're hungry, then turn these stones into bread. He said, you don't know, Satan, but I am the bread of life. And the Bible said that he had to flee. It said, actually, the scripture, that he departed from him. Oh, that's a real good nugget right there. You know what I always do in my Bible? You know, I always mark real good nuggets. You ever do that? That's a true testimony. So you're trying to tell me, James 4:7, that if I submit myself to God, I got to prove that out. I got to prove James 4:7 out. Submit yourself to God. And the enemy, he's going to flee from you. How do I know that? You got to keep saying, I am that I am. Everybody stand. I want you just to take a couple seconds here. And I want you to begin to think about who you are. Maybe you're a business. Maybe your new home. Maybe your new job. All I know is I am 3,000 members in this location and 3,000 members in four other locations across the country. That's who I am. I am that I am. Oh, y'all not hear what I'm saying? That's who I am. I am smart. I am abundantly supplied. I am. The word of God said it's nigh thee even in your mouth. But it's got to get into your heart. And when it gets into your heart, then your faith can prove it out. Oh my God. You got to keep saying what it is that you want. So here's what I want us to do. I want you just to take a second. We're going to confess what we are. And you're going to say it as loud as if God needs a hearing aid. You're going to say it as loud as you can. We're just going to say whatever it is. See, I know what happened. See, you got to think about what it is that he is. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you got to say, oh, let's see. You know? See, but that's the difference between when you're using and walking in the word, you have to say, I am, because the enemy's going to try to fight your mind. He's going to try to tell you that's not reality. Let me tell you something. Faith is my reality. I may be existing right here, right now, but I don't live in the right now. It's temporal. This light affliction is only for a moment. You got to be able to say those things to yourself. Honey, what I'm going through, by this time next year, I'm already through it. You got to see yourself blessed. You got to see yourself not walking in the same things. You, come on, somebody. You got to, let me tell you something. Can I tell you this last thing? Jacob, in Genesis, I think Genesis chapter 32, God, he got over on the other side. You know, Laban made him work and made him do all those different things, and Jacob meant that he was a trickster. But God got him on the other side. Read that in Genesis, I think, 32, verse 27 or somewhere in there. And he said to him, God said to Jacob, he says, what is your name? He said, my name is Jacob. God said, no more. See, sometimes because of your character, sometimes because of who you are, you don't see yourself like God sees you. Notice what he said. He said, I'm Jacob. He didn't say, I am Jacob. He just said, Jacob. Read it in the King James. He said, Jacob. And God could work with that. He said, you are no longer Jacob, but I've changed your name to Israel. Come on, somebody. He said, why? Because you prevailed all night long. You wasn't going to let me go until I bless you. And anybody that's going to prevail all night long and not let God go until he bless you, God said, I got to change your name. I got to change your name. God's changing somebody's name tonight. He told Abraham, he said, your name no longer Abraham. He said, you're Abraham. You're the father of many nations. And y'all know the church talked about him. Look at him talking about he a father of many. He ain't got no kids, but that's all right. He began to speak what it was that he was. The Bible said he staggered not at the promises of God. Oh, somebody better help me because I'm going to preach this thing. He staggered not at the promises of God. Because of the I am that I am. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Whew. I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can. Come on, let him know. I give myself. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. What would happen if a generation embraced it? Come on, tell them. Here I am. Here I am.
Thank you.